Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Big news of the day around here. Deshaun Watson put into the 21-day practice window as he recovers from injury, so he's got 21 days to practice. Let's get more info on the Browns and all those good things that are going on in the world of sports. We bring in Cleveland's own Chris Rose from John Boy Media and the NFL Network. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
We are good. We're kicking around this old Deshaun Watson story today.
Stunning, huh?
Well, I mean, we talked about it all year, that he was at some point going to be healthy enough to be put in this 21-day window. And now what does it mean? My guess is he'll get activated after at the end of this 21 days. Now, whether or not he'll play, I don't know. I think it all depends on how Shadur's looking and kind of go from there.
Is there a scenario with the quarterback situation, the way it now stands, that you like for the rest of this year and next year?
Wait, what was that last part?
I'm looking ahead and next year. In other words, anybody here who you think could do it next year, or would you?
I think everything is on the table. The one thing we don't know is what they think of the upcoming draft class, which we're not even going to know who's available, right? I mean, Mendoza will be there, but is Moore going to join him? To me, he feels like a coin flip, right? They just lost their OC, so I don't know if he wants to stick around. Obviously, they have plenty of NIL money to keep him enticed and also keep growing as a quarterback, because he's going to have fewer than 20 starts when it's all said and done. There's obviously a Deshaun price tag that you have to factor into this equation. There's a lot of moving parts here. So I think everything is available. And I would say right now the focus should just be letting Shadur play the rest of the year and kind of go from there with whatever direction the organization takes in terms of coaching, the architect of the team, and the quarterbacks you have available to you.
What have you thought of Shadur so far? What did you think of this week?
I thought he was okay. I mean, I like Chase Daniel's breakdowns. I watch them. I learn a lot from them. I've worked with Chase, so I trust him and what he's telling us. I don't ever feel like there's an agenda with him one way or another, so I just feel like he's speaking facts. Now, whether or not you think he's right, that's your choice. I've never been a backup quarterback for 15 years in the NFL. He has, so I trust his word and judgment. He said there were a lot of things that Shadur missed, and that's okay. Like, I think that when we have the Shadur discussion, because some people love to scream at the top of their lungs and say this about the Browns screwing him, and then there's people who say, I can't stand Shadur, this is why he was a fifth-round pick, I'm not going to listen to you. I just don't, because I'm trying to formulate an objective opinion based on everything that has gone into this. I thought he was okay on Sunday. I didn't think he was great. I do like the way the offense feels with him, meaning that when Dylan was in there, I've told you this before, I constantly felt like we were playing in the red zone without being inside the 20-yard line, meaning the field was so small. Here, it's not that way. It does feel bigger. It feels like there's big boy plays to be made. That's where you have to live in today's day and age. And the question is, are there going to be enough plays that he sees that he has to see in order for him to become a starting quarterback? And it's okay that he misses those in start two. It really is. You don't want him missing them in start seven as much, but, you know, we got to get there.
I agree with you on that. He said today, Chris, you know, in essence, he'd like to maybe be able to turn it loose a little bit more. I'd like to see that, too. And at some point, clearly, the Browns have to see that. How close do you think they are to just, okay, let's maybe not shelter you, let's not protect you, let's turn you loose and let you go play some football?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think there's definitely some of that. But whatever it is, whatever plays they're asking you to run, you have to make. And that's part of it. That's probably part of the trust. Shadur spends a lot of time in his press conferences talking about trust. And I imagine there's some of that that the organization wants to see out of a young quarterback. Like, what can we trust you to do to the point where we don't, you know, jeopardize, you know, because they owe it to the other guys in that locker room to try and win it too. It's not strictly about Shadur's development, although I do think that that has to be a big part of the final 5 weeks of the year. There's no question about it. But I understand it to some degree, but also Brock Purdy only threw it a couple more times than Shadur did last week. You know, I get it that he had a sizable lead midway through the fourth, but go watch Brock Purdy's drive before the end of the half. And there was a throw, I think on 3rd and 10, maybe. I believe he hit Jennings on the left sideline. Like, that was, nobody talked about that throw. That's a big league throw. And those are the ones that hopefully Shadur is making.
As we watch these last couple weeks of the season, and I mean, obviously the topic comes up about Andrew Berry and then Kevin Stefanski surviving and getting into next season. Your overall thoughts on what this team needs to do to look better towards the end of the year to say, hey, you know what? There really shouldn't be much of an issue. These guys should be back.
First of all, I got to beat Tennessee. They're horrible. Right. Unfortunately, it's my job. Well, I'm not going to say unfortunate. I love my job. But part of my job is to watch them play every week. And they're atrocious. You will see Cam Ward make a couple of throws this game, because I imagine most Browns fans have not even seen a lick of him outside of a highlight or two on social media. He's made some really good throws this year. He's going to take a ton of sacks. This is where Miles needs to get multiple sacks if he wants to get that record. And I certainly hope he does, because that'll be something fun for us to celebrate. Back to your question.
Yes.
One thing I want to just put out there, and I think it's an important part of the discussion. As bad as this has been the last 2 years, if you move on from Kevin, who do you want? Because I'll just tell you this. My buddy Tom Pelissero, every year right around this time, he did it right before Thanksgiving, put out a list of, you know, like assistants who are kind of on the up and up.
Ready to go.
You know,
ready to go.
Yeah, right? So it's 24 young coaching candidates. And we know that part of that list comes from agents who are trying to get their guy the next gig, right? Mm-hmm. But let me just tell you a little bit about some of the guys that are on that list, okay? Now, not all of them, but here's just a few. On it is included Mike Kafka, who is currently the Giants' interim head coach.
Yeah. Former Chiefs.
Yeah, on that one. Kevin Petullo, who is currently the Eagles' offensive coordinator, who has been so suspect at his job, his head coach had to come out again this week and say, yeah, he's still going to be calling plays. Like, we're good there. Drew Petzing, who you'll remember was a tight end coach with us.
Yeah.
And is currently the Cardinals' offensive coordinator. I'm not so sure that their offense has been great. It's been better under Jacoby Brissett, but under Kyler, it was whatever. Zach Robinson, the OC of the Falcons. Like, come on. Really? We're going to go do that one? I don't think that's the right call. Bubba Ventrone's on this list. I'll keep going.
Really?
Just keep moving, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I guess my point is this. There's not, it doesn't mean that there's not the next great head coach out there, but it feels like this year there's a real lack of guys that people are going to want. And I wonder if that's going to factor into some teams, and perhaps including the Cleveland Browns, retaining their head coach. I'm just throwing it out there because outside of, people say, well, I want Mike McCarthy. Well, Mike McCarthy might look at the Giants job and say, well, you already got a quarterback. You already got a one receiver, Malik Nabers, who's going to come back. You already got a better offensive line than the Cleveland Browns have. Like, why would I want to go to Cleveland instead of New York? Like, if that's, that might be part of his thought process. I'm just throwing all that out there.
I thought it was interesting when I read that article that they had Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame on that list, too. And I could see it.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I love Marcus. I loved him when he was a player at Ohio State, and I thought I think he's done a really, really good job at Notre Dame. I just thought it was interesting that you know, it was talking about a lot of guys that are currently in the NFL, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah, I wonder if he would leave Notre Dame. I wonder what he would be like as an NFL head coach. It was very thought-provoking, I thought.
Right, and it was the same thing with Matt Campbell of Iowa State a couple of years ago. I don't know if you remember that. And now, well, since then, he keeps piling up 5 lost seasons. But, yeah, that happens with good young head coaches who have success at the collegiate level. I mean, why wouldn't you want to just naturally? Now, there aren't a lot of guys that come and do it, you know? I mean, we don't have a lot of guys that are jumping to the NFL from the college game.
No, we don't, do we?
Mm-mm.
How would Ryan Day do? That's the other. Jeff and I kick this around all the time. I don't. If I was Ryan Day, I would not leave. Not now.
No, I think he's exactly where he needs to be. I just don't. I don't see that. Marcus Freeman feels like an NFL head coach to me. Now he does. I don't know if he has any interest in it. I don't know if it, you know, gets his juices flowing. But that's the guy I would talk to. I believe in that dude. Where I think he could be successful on a couple different levels. I don't think every college coach could.
Chris, love talking to you as well, and we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. How's that sound?
Thanks, Chris.
All right, boys. Take care. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Everything is on the table. The one thing we don't know is what they think of the upcoming draft class, which we're not even going to know who's available, right? I mean, you know, Mendoza will be there, but is Moore going to join him? To me, he feels like a coin flip, right? They just lost their OC, so I don't know if he wants to stick around.
It's going to be interesting. That's why I think a lot of us will be watching Saturday night to watch Beyond.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
And Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship, and to see what Mendoza can do for Indiana. It makes things more interesting, I would say, than just a typical Indiana-Ohio State football game. Plus, I mean, man, all you have to do is look at anybody who's coming out in the draft on any of the Ohio State Buckeyes, and you got to be like, ah, yeah, all right, let's see if the Browns can get them. I mean, I'm sure there are folks that haven't watched the Buckeyes this season, but you may want to watch on Saturday just to make sure. Especially Mendoza. I think more fans will be watching around here. Maybe that's not fair because of Ohio State, but I do think there will be plenty of folks that are glued in just to see Fernando Mendoza and if he would be worthy of trying to move up for the first pick, as we had talked about even when we started the show today with Dane Brugler's theory that the Browns, and it was just doing a mock draft, that the Browns could trade up to number one to get him, and then, you know, then you'd have to see where you are. But now you've got this whole, like, alphabet soup of what's going on with the quarterback situation. Shedeur Sanders is your starting quarterback right now. And, you know, Kevin hasn't said he's the man for the rest of the season. He will tell you week to week if he isn't. At least he'll tell you that right after the game on Sunday, so there's nothing wrong with that. You know, Gabriel's still here, and now Deshaun Watson has entered into the 21-day practice window for those injured players, PUP, the reserve PUP, to try to get back out on the field. So will he play this season? Your guess is as good as mine. I do think it was interesting. We were talking to Daryl earlier, too. Jeff, he made it. Didn't you get the feeling he didn't think he'd see the field?
That was the feeling that I received.
Or was that his opinion?
That was Daryl's opinion.
Yeah.
That's okay. We ask him for his opinion.
You think we'll see him?
I don't know, Andy.
We've had so many wacky seasons, Jeff. Here's why I do. Because this team and this franchise has had so many wacky seasons where you go back and look like, who was the Week 18 starter? Who was the Week 17 starter? What?
Yeah, I know. But do you do that to a guy that you think, that you thought at one point was your franchise quarterback? You know, like the last 2 years, it was Bailey Zappe and Jeff Driscoll started the last game of the year. And, you know, you just throw somebody out there. Do you want to expose Deshaun to a possible injury and just throwing him out there for the last game?
If you're Deshaun, are you not trying to get back out on the field? So maybe if they're going to cut you loose to show teams that you still can play and that you want the opportunity? Yeah. It's all about tape at this point for him, isn't it?
I would think he's actually in a position where he needs to put out some good tape.
Not that we've had to say that before, but yeah, I think so.
I think that's true. I just wonder about the priority in decisions that have to be made here. And the quarterback situation is a huge one, but so's the, you know, front office and coaching and everything else. And I would like to see if Deshaun has anything left, mainly because I'm curious, you know, and if he, because
the at what expense? So the
coaching staff will be able to figure out just in practice if he has anything left.
I agree with you on that.
That's what they're paid to do. So I don't think they need to put him on the field just to find that out. Deshaun might want that.
If I was Deshaun, I'd want to get on the field to prove to other teams I could still play, if that's what he wants. Joe is in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. Good show.
Thank you.
Hey, I don't always agree with you, but let me put it this way. I'm a Cleveland guy all my life.
Okay.
All the teams. So let me put it this way. If you're talking about a regular business, it makes sense from the Browns' point of view to use all your assets, okay?
Yep.
And a regular business. Sports, though, is not a regular business. I'm telling you right now, they set this team back 10 years with that Watson trade and all the draft picks they lost. As a fan, if they try to put him back on the field, that's going to make Bottlegate look like a badminton game out there. I'm telling you, the fans have had it. I've never supported a team where I'm worn out. I'm worn out before the season even starts. I mean, they just wear you out between the off-field stuff and then the on-field stuff because they suck the last couple years. They don't give you anything to root for. Now, you said that Deshaun wants to do. As a fan, I've had it with them. I don't want to see any more. Let's just move on. And if it was up to me, they'd clean house. I'd clean house with the head coach, Barry Stefanski, because they're all part of this whole decision that they brought him in, and they put us fans through purgatory for the last 5 or 6 years.
Joe, are making the assumption though that those guys were involved in it. Paul DePodesta said that it was collaborative. Okay, take him at his word.
I didn't hear anybody come out and say, look, hey, I'm a head coach here, but I kind of disagree with their decision to do this.
You're not going to do that, though.
No, and by the way,
that doesn't happen.
And if a head coach does that, he's gone.
He's out.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, it might have been better for him to be gone and to save his reputation a little bit than to do what they did with Watson. When the owner comes out and says, we took a swing and missed, how in the hell are you going to put that guy back on the field after the owner says that about you? I think it'd be a big mistake for them to try to do that. But, hey, they screwed everything else up over the last 5 or 10 years. They can do anything they want to do, you know?
There you go. Joe, thank you, Joe. Joe, appreciate it.
It's a great point from Joe making there. I mean, the owner just – what do you think Deshaun felt when Jimmy said that?
Swing and a miss. I probably said if I was Deshaun, I would be super motivated to want to get back on the field.
I would think so too.
Yeah.
Except for one thing.
He still got paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
And by the way, you think he doesn't want more money after this contract? Of course he does.
He wants the opportunity to play football, and with starting in the NFL as quarterback, you're going to make a lot of money. So that's a big part of it. You know?
If I'm Deshaun, I'm still trying to hang around afterwards because there's still money to be made.
Well, why not? And what are you going to do? You're 30. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's over the hill.
You want to go coach? No, it's not. That's what my point is. No, it's not over the hill. I mean, he could play for another decade. And Andy, if he ends up being healthy and good again, this is a small blip. It would be a small blip on his career record.
Agree. Jeff in North Carolina. Hey, Jeff.
Hello, Jeffrey.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Number of things. Number one, I think Shador is ready. The preseason games and then, you know, that abysmal half against Baltimore. The only thing I wanted to see in his first couple of starts was managing the pocket better, eliminating those bad sacks, getting rid of the ball. Clearly, he needs to improve, but from the first sample size to the first two games of his career as a starter, I think he's improved enough because he's got all the physical tools, and there's something about that kid. He just makes everybody around him better. And, love listening to him talk, and I think he's got leadership qualities, that it factor, and I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. And then I think the rest of the way, you just, you play him. You got Deshaun for 21 days. That's at least 3 weeks of starting for Shador. I'd start Shador in the last two, give Deshaun a series or two, maybe a half, just let him kick the rust off. I would go into next year with Shador and Deshaun as my quarterbacks, and I would draft the hell out of an offensive lineman and a wide receiver. And if we needed a quarterback, we'll get one when Deshaun's contract is done and we're able to maybe get some draft compensation for the Gabriel kid. So that's my take.
All right, Jeff, thank you.
Jeff, I was going to ask Jeff.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. I don't know. I think if they stay with the current staff, and this is just me spitballing, that if they stay with Stefanski and they stay with Barry, I think Gabriel's here for another year. I don't think he goes anywhere.
Let me get your thoughts on this. The way this situation is, you have 5 games to play.
Right.
Now Deshaun's practice window has been open. Dylan Gabriel is still here. And, Dylan, if you might not have liked what you saw, but at one point they liked Dylan a lot better than they liked Shador. Would there be any harm in, all right, hey, Shador, you got 2 games. In 2 games, hey, Dylan's going to get a game. Dylan's starting today. Final 2 games. We're starting Deshaun. I don't see any harm in that
right now. It's the same as preseason, isn't it? You've now taken it back to the way you're looking at preseason.
I just don't think there's enough time for anybody to flat out answer the question, who's the starting quarterback next year, unless it's Watson.
Well, I mean, if Sanders lights the field on fire, I don't know if he's got the tools around him to be able to do that.
It's still kind of a little bit of a dice roll if you're the Browns. One thing that Jeff just said that I kind of disagree with, but it's not on Shador. He said he makes everybody around him better. The wide receivers would disagree with that. Wide receivers haven't done very well under Shador.
You're saying he's been able to throw tight ends and running backs better. Yeah.
The wide receivers haven't shined. A couple of reasons for that. Number one, we don't think they're very good anyway. Okay? They played a lot better when Jameis was there and at one point when Flacco was doing some things. But I also do think that the offensive play calling has been a little conservative in trying to protect the quarterback. And I think if you want a really good evaluation of Shadur, you got to turn him loose. And I hate to be this guy, Andy. You're 3-8, three and nine. You're 3-9. If you lose another game, whippy fizz. I know the veterans are playing to win and everything else. Turn him loose and let's see what he can do. You know, that's where you're going to get the determination if he can be your starting quarterback. You're not going to get the determination if you're really conservative in your play calling and try to protect him. Turn him loose and let him go. Let's see it. I could make the argument it would have been the same thing with Dylan.
I just think Kevin has... I shouldn't say this, but I think Kevin likes... I think he trusts quarterbacks that don't turn the ball over. Let's just leave it at that. Because I think he's still... You know, they still, whether it's... You know, whether he's calling the plays or not, the number one priority of that quarterback is to take care of the football. Don't turn the ball over.
Well, that's true.
And sometimes it's the structure compared to, you know, when we say let's turn him loose, what does that mean?
Well, it means if we turn the ball over and we lose a game, whippy fizz. That's what it means. Let's see what he can do.
I can't see Kevin wanting his team to play that way.
If Kevin can... If they continue rolling this way and they go 0-5 the rest of the way, wonder where Kevin's working next year. Maybe here, maybe not.
216.
You don't survive back-to-back three-win seasons. That does not happen. And if it does, then it comes with a great big asterisk saying it wasn't his fault.
And everyone in the league would know that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.